Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us and Saint Gilbert of Sempringham. And his story will start with a few quotes. Commemoration of Gilbert of Sempringham, founder of the Gilbertine Order in 1189. Some there are who presume so far on their wits that they think themselves capable of measuring the whole nature of things by their intellect, in that they esteem all things true which they see, and false which they see not. Accordingly, in order that man's mind might be freed from this presumption and seek the truth humbly, it is necessary that certain things far surpassing his intellect should be proposed to man by God. And that's coming from St. Thomas Aquinas. Be a messenger of light and beacon of hope. When you suffer and lose, that does not mean you are being disobedient to God. In fact, it might mean you're right in the center of His will. The path of obedience is often marked by times of suffering and loss. Yet those who are truly honest and humble enough to admit the truth come to the end of their earthly lives acknowledging that they have barely scratched the surface. Servants must be big people, big enough to go on remembering the right and forgetting the wrong. If you are having difficulty loving or relating to an individual, take them to God. Bother the Lord with this person. Don't you be bothered with him. Leave them at the throne. Go God's way. He is the most reliable route to follow. When life gets complicated, it will have its tough moments, but you will never regret. St. Gilbert was born at Sempringham near Lincolnshire. And he was the son of a lord of the manor there and an unnamed Anglo-Saxon mother. He had a brother, Roger, and a sister, Agnes. So Gilbert was born at Sempringham near Lincolnshire. After studies in Paris, he was ordained priest in 1123 and became parson of Sempringham, and there in 1131 he founded a home for girls. whom he spiritually guided, and to whom he assigned a rule of life, fashioned after that of Saint Benedict of Nursia. Gilbertine Order of Canons Regular was founded around 1130 by Saint Gilbert in Sempringham, Lincolnshire, where St. Gilbert was the parish priest. It was the only completely English religious order and came to an end in the 16th century at the time of the dissolution of the monastery. Yeah, thanks to King Henry VIII and these heretics. When his father died in 1130, Gilbert became lord of the manor of Sempringham. And in 1131, he founded the Gilbertine Order. Gilbert was a lover of truth and justice, chastity and sobriety, and a diligent cultivator of the other virtues. Wherefore, he was revered and praised by all, and obtained their favor and regard. Even Jocelyn now rejoiced in the goodness of his son, and he began to cherish him with fatherly affection and minister to his needs out of his own riches. And Gilbert would be in his late 20s when his father presented him to the vacant churches of Sempringham, which he had built on his own demise in the custom of his country. And when Thomas Becket, Arkbury of Canterbury, was exiled, Gilbert was accused of sending him aid. This was not true, but Gilbert did not deny the charge because he did not want to be classed as an enemy of the Archbishop. He faced a sentence of exile, but was saved by the invention of King Henry II. When he was nearly 90, Gilbert had another cross to bear. He was slandered by some of the lay brothers of his order, and he died at the age of 106 and was canonized 12 years later. In 1165, Gilbert was charged with having aided Thomas Becket when Thomas fled from King Henry II after the council. But he was eventually found innocent, and Gilbert was born in Sempringham, England, into a wealthy family, but he followed a path quite different from that expected of him as the son of a Norman knight. Sent to France for his higher education, he decided to pursue seminary studies. He returned to England, not yet ordained a priest, and inherited several estates from his father. But Gilbert avoided the easy life he could have led under the circumstances. Instead, he lived a simple life at a parish, sharing as much as possible with the poor. Following his ordination to the priesthood, he served as parish priest at Sempringham. And among the congregation were seven young women who had expressed to him their desire to live in a religious life. In response, Gilbert had a house built for them adjacent to their church, and there they lived an austere life, but one which attracted even more numbers. Eventually, lay sisters and lay brothers were added to work the land. The religious order formed eventually became known as the Gilbertines. Though Gilbert had hoped the Cistercians or some other existing order would take on the responsibility of establishing a rule of life for the new order. And so the Gilbertines, the only religious order of England of English origin founded during the Middle Ages, continued to thrive, but the order came to an end when King Henry VIII, that heretic, suppress all Catholic monasteries. And King Henry VIII is an example that no one wants to follow down that road. Over the years, a special custom grew up in the houses of the order called the Plate of the Lord Jesus. The best portion of the diner were put on a special plate and shared with the poor, reflecting Gilbert's lifelong concern for less fortunate people. He established the Gilbertine rule, a vow he himself did not take until he was near death. As he professed his belief, it would be arrogant to do so. As he had written it, the rule put love of God first and foremost, but also included service to the community and the poor, humility, modesty, and acts of penance and self-denial. And throughout his life, Gilbert lived simply, consumed little food, and spent a good portion of many nights in prayer. Despite the rigors of such a life, he died at well over age 100. Gilbert was canonized in 1202 by Pope Innocent III. His liturgical feast day is on 4 February, commemorating his death. And many miracles are recorded after his death, with the majority of pilgrims who went to his shrine at Sippringham coming from the immediate local area. Many miracles. And he did become a priest. And as a priest, he administered the sacraments to the poor and the needy. And to the people he served. So today he calls for us to pray for our priests today. And so we pray for Pope Francis and all the clergy today that they will reach the world for Christ. Those who are in need of Christ, we pray for our priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
Joyous prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net by which we catch souls. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. Mary, Mother of Jesus, throw your mantle of purity over our priests. Protect them, guide them, and keep them in your heart. Be a mother to them, especially in times of discouragement and loneliness. Love them and keep them belonging completely to Jesus. Excuse me. Like Jesus, they too are your sons, so keep their hearts pure and virginal. Keep their minds filled with Jesus, and put Jesus always on their lips, so that Jesus is the one they offer, the sinner, and all they meet. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be their mother, loving them and bringing them joy. Mary, bless them and keep a special place for them in your heart. Give them a piece of your heart so beautiful and pure and immaculate, so full of love and humility, so that they too can grow in the likeness of Christ. Dear Mary, make them humble like you and holy like Jesus. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. And may the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. And we pray for our bishops, Lord. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grace our bishops with the gifts of wisdom and strength, gentleness and compassion, as our bishops continue to take up their role as our pastors and teachers. And we pray for our deacons, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, servant of all, make our deacons fertile ground for your inspiration and love, and comfort them, Lord, when they question themselves and their ministry. Pray, Lord, for seminarians, we pray for our seminarians, Lord, give them peace, Lord, and give them strength and courage, Lord. Lord, fill your church with the spirit of courage and love, and raise up worthy ministers for your altars. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. And we pray for our altar servers, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to serve you during the Holy Mass. In your sacred presence, my heart is filled with joy and peace. And may your Spirit always guide us, so we may grow in your love by the grace of the Heavenly Father. Amen. Open our mouths, O Lord, to bless your holy name. Cleanse our hearts, Lord, from all evil and distracting thoughts. Enlighten our understanding and inflame our will that we may serve worthily at your holy altar, Lord. We pray for our altar servers, Lord. And we pray for all of our children, Lord. Pray for all of our children. We pray for holy families, Lord. We pray that our parents will lead their children through the teachings of the Catholic faith, and that our children will be presented the gospel as growing up. Pray for our children, Lord.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children, children.
You'll have that responsibility children, soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. Young, carefree children.
And help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that power for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, watch over us and care for us just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son, and so grow in strength and wisdom and the favor of God. Amen. St. Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church, families, fathers, expectant mothers, travelers. O glorious St. Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, do assist us by your powerful intercession, and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, along with Saint Gilbert and Saint Sebastian and Saint Nicholas and Saint Maria Goretti and Saint Delphina and Saint Philomena and St. Gianna, and St. Christopher, and St. Michael the Archangel, and St. Raphael the Archangel, the patron saint of healing, and St. Gabriel the Archangel, and St. Monica, and St. Anthony. Lord, you are our children, our children's refuge and fortress, the God in whom they can and should put their trust. And I pray that no evil shall be allowed to befall on our children. No plague will come near their tent. Lord, you are my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. And I will call upon you, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much, and I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And we now pray, Lord, for those who have recently passed from this life. And we pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mystery focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives. And by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change but do not end. And I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all those who have recently passed, known to you alone. In company with Christ who died and now lives, may they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away. Unite us together again in one family, to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. And may they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. May Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. And may Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. And may Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. And may Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And may he forgive all their sins and set them among those whom he has chosen. And Lord, I lift up the prodigals for you. Thank you for loving them even more than we do, for watching over them when we can't, and for working to draw them to yourself. And we pray for America, Lord. We pray for our soldiers and veterans, and we ask you to bless the members of our armed forces with giving them courage, hope, and strength, leading them from darkness to light. And we pray for the prisoner, Lord. We pray for all those resident in prison and their families, and may they be aware of your presence with them, and may your spirit bring them peace and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ. And we pray for those in the hospitals. We pray for those who are sick and ailing, who are in the hospitals, that they will find healing and hope there. And we pray, Lord, for the poor souls in purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for all the great things that we have received. And Lent is an opportunity for us to grow closer to you, to remove the obstacles that may be hampering our relationships with you, Lord. Donna Corey Gibson, The Stations of the Cross, the fourth station.
The fourth station. Jesus meets his Holy Mother. She was there to dry your eyes the first time that you cried. She was there again to hold you in her arms. She was support for your first steps and to lift you when you fell. She's the heart that grew to love you so. And there she is, to see you once again. No words are even spoken, her eyes reveal pain. Your most holy mother, with a sword of sorrow in her heart, and you walk by. One
there. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you,
because
by
your
holy cross
you
have redeemed the world.
Amen. Planting the good soil for Lent. When a large crowd gathered with people from one town after another journeying to Jesus, he spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. And this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sower of the seed. It is the Lord who is planting the seed so that all mankind might be saved. Unfortunately for this group, the seed of faith does not grow. They are carried away by every kind of strange teaching, taking away to another master. These are people who had heard the word of God, but because of the many lures of the world, they easily fall into sin. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Luke chapter verse 8, 6. And this group heard the word of God, but does not have a foundation. They simply wither and die because their faith was not planted on fertile ground. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, happy those who do not follow the counsel of the wicked, nor go the way of sinners, nor sit in company with the scoffers. Rather, the law of the Lord is their joy. God's law they study day and night, and they are like a tree planted near streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaves never wither. Whatever they do prospers. And this is key, and why people wither, because of lack of moisture. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 tells us that God warns us that his people perish because of the lack of knowledge. They do not understand their faith. This is the mission of deeper truth, to know our faith and to spread our faith. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it. Luke chapter 8, verse 7. Some who embrace the Lord and his church fall away because of persecution. Some become bitter and cannot forgive others because of terrible atrocities. This group allows their faith to be choked off through bitterness. Finally, Jesus gives us this group. And some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. Luke chapter 8, verse 8. This is the faithful Catholic who strives to live a holy life, to study and know the word of God. Jesus explains the meaning of this parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in time of trial. As the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they are choked off by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seed that fell on rich soil, have heard the word, embraced it with a generous and good heart, and bear fruit through perseverance. Luke chapter 8, through 11 through 15. And Jesus stressed this idea of perseverance, saying, but the one who perseveres to the very end will be saved. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. This totally destroys the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, which is a man-made doctrine developed by men who fell away from the Catholic faith. To this, you know, when parents are both practicing and living their Catholic faith, the children are planted on the good soil. Their children embrace the faith more than 90%. However, when dad is out of the picture, it all falls on mom. The percentage goes down between the 30s and the teens. That shows the importance of both mom and dad. There are many denominations that have arisen as a result of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. By 1900, there were nearly 1,900 Protestant denominations. Today, there are over 42,000 denominations worldwide. There are about 170 new ones founded every year. Many of them range far and wide from each other. Many of them are more of a non-denominational flavor that might be a small group comprised of family members. Some of them are large groups that have large auditoriums with a large stage and lights and band. A lot of these groups do boast of having a large number of fallen away Catholics. Former Catholics as a group are the second largest group in the United States. Anti-Catholicism, anti-Catholics parade around these former Catholics like a trophy. Little do they know that this offends our Lord very much. Jesus wants to receive all these people to himself, but they turn away from him by leaving the Catholic Church. St. James states, "My brothers, if anyone among you should stray from the truth and someone bring them back, he should know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of their way will save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." James chapter 5, 19-20. Jesus would leave the 99 to go find the one who has gone astray. And we are called to go out and gather them and bring them home to the table of plenty. All faithful Catholics should be homeward bound. James chapter 1, 19-25 states, "Know this, my brethren, that every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he must be blessed. He shall be blessed in his doings." James chapter 1, 19-25. The Word of God has been implanted into the world through the Catholic Church because the life source comes from the flow of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all that I have said to you." John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is the source of all the sacred traditions and scriptures that have been handed down for 2,000 years. It is through this word that we are called to act in service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is interesting to note that Scripture as a source to save souls, but not in the simple hearing of the word, but the acting out the message of the word. We are to be meek and humble about this task because we do not deserve this grace, but we are entrusted to live it. Through God's gift of grace, we are called to go to the nations and baptize them and teach them the gospel. The power of the message is found in our faithfulness to his word. People should see his reflection in us by the way we show love to our fellow men. To those who believe that all you need be is hearers of the word, that is coming only sola scriptura. Jesus instructs us to give food and drink to the thirsty and the hungry. The Catholic Church by far gives the most food to the poor in impoverished nations than any other entity in the world. I gave money to Catholic Relief Services, CRS, many years as I served in the Army. The CRS would be among the first to respond to natural disasters such as hurricanes, earthquakes, war-torn lands. And this is a most important work as food shelters, warehouses are set up to help the poor all over the world. And Jesus said, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. The Catholic Church founded the system that helps the pilgrims, building hospitals, orphanages, schools, colleges, supporting the organizing and so organizing to help societies reaching the poor. Much as what St. Gilbert did, our saint of the day today in the Gap. Travelers were originally supported by monks who developed monasteries that helped those who needed rest on their journeys. This helped develop roads which worked to make traveling easier. So the church was instrumental in helping develop business, helping the common man, the traveler, and the stranger. Technology and science have been used to strengthen faith and work together for the common need of man to learn more about himself, whom God has made in his likeness and glory. And Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. And we have been clothed in his righteousness, grounded on the truth of the gospel. The Catholic Church defends modesty in society, a moral guide for those who are seeking for the ship that will not sink, like the Ark of Noah. The Catholic Church is the moral compass leading those who want to cross over to safety in the Lord. Jesus was stripped of his garments at the cross so that we might be clothed with his glory. The Catholic Church stands for the dignity of every human being, believing that every human being is precious in the eyes of God. The church seeks to liberate women from the bondage of pornography, from being made into objects of worship and idols. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. As I mentioned before, the Catholic Church established the hospital system. That is the model everyone has adopted to help, to work in helping the sick. Through God's divine providence and his love for mankind, he gave us men who discovered technologies to heal those of sickness. Disease has always been a threat, but many cures have been discovered that has helped many who were sick to be healed. Polio and tuberculosis were deadly diseases that have been almost totally defeated through vaccination and medication. God has given us many good things to help the sick. He is the master healer. As Catholics, we know that he heals through the power of his hand and through those whom he placed in our path with the means of healing. Millions have been helped through the Catholic Church for centuries. Jesus said, I was in prison and you came to me. The Catholic Church, through the testimony of great people such as Russell Ford and Terry Delf, are working to serve those in prisons who are largely forgotten. The church has always offered the sacraments to those who many have had long roads paved with injustice, bitterness, hatreds, and violence. More needs to be done in reaching out to those who are spiritually crying out for help. Mother Mary at Fatima asked us to do sacrifice and pray for those being forgotten who are on their way to perdition. The Lord loves them and seeks to use us to help save them. Walls have been torn down through the love of God. Hearts can be changed even in the most terrible places. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. If we are faithful to the word of God, we will receive that blessing that results from our doing. We will be raised up on that last day for receiving the bread of life, the Eucharist. We will receive that forgiveness through his ambassadors of grace, his priests. We will receive the seal of the Holy Spirit through the laying of hands that anoints us with the oil of salvation, the oil of gladness. We will receive that anointing of the sick that will forgive our sins and heal our souls. We will benefit from the holy orders of the masters of grace that brings us God's grace through the sacraments. The Lord will bless marriage as he did at the wedding feast of Cana, giving us grace to help each other on this great journey of faith, to be planted on the good soil, be doers of the word. Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because in revealing them, you can neither deceive nor be deceived. And this is coming from my writings, planting the good soil, perfect for Lent. And so, we pray for those who've been caught in the eye of the storm, for those who are held back by addictions and abuse. We pray for deliverance, Lord. Those caught in the eye of the storm, those who are suicidal and contemplating abortions, we pray for them, Lord, who are caught in the eye of the storm.
Plenty of time, but when you're caught in the eye of the storm, nowhere to turn as the thunder crashes. So many times you were warned, but now you're trapped as the battle rages. Heartless stands at the door. You're caught in the eye of the storm.
final boarding call for flight 247 to London, now at gate 23A. Mr. Edwards, make your sea Edwards to late taking telephone.
All final boarding call for flight 1814.
Carry the cross, reaching the lost. Heaven is counting.
heaven is counting on you. And tomorrow in the gap, we will have the seven founders of the Servite Order. That will be who is in the gap tomorrow. And so we're thankful, Lord, for all the great gifts you've given us this very day. We thank you, Lord. Whatsoever you do. In the city of God.
Darkness.
And St. Gilbert is wanting to encourage you all to go to confession and to clean yourselves through this holy sacrament. What it's like when you step out of the confessional and receive that absolution, priest, you're clean. And so, again, tomorrow we'll have the seven founders of the Servite Order in the gap tomorrow, as we will close now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, to go to Mass and frequent the sacraments, and receive the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, in the state of sin, in the state of grace, to avoid sin at all costs, and go to confession, and thereby be clean. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you all today. Amen.